Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we consider what would essentially be a cynical question based on our text for today. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given us your holy scriptures so that we may live by them under the illumination and guidance of your Holy Spirit. Help us to properly come to grips with your word so that we can give a good account of our faith to those around us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the NIV. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Do Christians take pleasure in pain? This could be a question from a cynical unbeliever who finds too many apparent contradictions in Scripture. But when we properly and boldly come to grips with difficult passages, we will discover that there are no actual contradictions, for God is not a God of confusion. Our reading today is not a particularly difficult passage, but still the cynic may find James's opening lines in verse 2 hard to reconcile when he calls on Christians to consider it pure joy in the face of trials. Is James some type of masochist, seeming almost to encourage Christians to deny pain and smile all the time? To begin dealing with this passage, we discover that the term trials in verse 2, used in this verse, means a test, though it is often translated temptation in other contexts. And the Christians James was addressing were facing trials of many kinds. These trials were not severe persecution, and certainly not illness, for which different terms are used, but rather low-level or low-grade persecution, such as social rejection and economic boycotts, which, while severe, certainly did not entail them losing their lives. This was happening simply because they were Christians. Trouble from without, most likely from those in the community, and trouble from within, meaning possibly family members who rejected those who had come to faith in Christ. In both circumstances, the call to joy seems to be applicable. Yet, neither are situations in which one would expect to have joy, because they are painful and discouraging, and a challenge to their newfound faith. So how then could James argue that they, and we, where applicable, should consider it pure joy? Should Christians deny the pain of rejection and being despised, and instead smile all the time? This would be the cynic's question, but it is a fair question for us to answer, because we cannot deny the reality of such pain. To do so is to deny something that is part of what it means to be very human. The thing is, James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4 does not stand alone. It parallels similar sayings. For example, in Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 5, Paul also said, "We also rejoice in our sufferings." And Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 to 7 said the following, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The situation pictured in all three of these passages is that of persecution. James and 1 Peter picture the persecution as a test of faith, a trial or temptation. The two authors use the identical phrase. Romans simply calls it suffering or affliction or tribulation. The term, like all terms for suffering, indicates persecution or hardship endured because of the faith. Again, not for illness. We have some kind of an idea of the type of persecutions that Paul endured. And as I mentioned, James's community appears to have experienced low-level economic persecution, while Peter's readers appear to have been ostracized from their society and subjected to some kind of violence, although not death, it seems. I think it is fair to say that none of these are pleasant situations. And of course, for the Christian, the call to rejoice does not come across as being motivated by the joyful anticipation of pain. For the masochist wants to experience pain because it is the pain that gives this person pleasure. Instead, in our reading, the real motivation is very clear. Christians then and Christians today are not to rejoice in the actual pain, but in the future reward beyond the pain. James believes that we should rejoice because trials give us an opportunity to develop the quality of perseverance, which will in turn lead to a mature Christian character. In other words, much like an athlete in a practice session, there is joy. In the moment, athletes may run or lift weights to the point of pain and not necessarily enjoy the actual pain of practice, but they know that there is a big race or game coming up, and their eyes are set on the big race or that game and the prize which accompanies winning. They don't rejoice in the stress, but in the knowledge that their muscles are being strengthened and honed for action, and therefore they will do better when it counts. James is probably dependent on what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. Here we see why character is important. It will be rewarded in heaven. In other words, faithfulness under pressure today earns eternal reward tomorrow. This is seen in the life of Jesus, who, for the joy set before him, we are told in Hebrews 12, verse 2, endured the cross, scorning its shame. As such, Christians have an example to live by. So we may talk about eschatologically anticipated joy. Eschatology meaning end times or end things. Our joy is not in the present feelings, but in the anticipation of the joy that is ours when we finally stand face to face before Jesus. Thus the joy of that day is tasted in part already in the sometimes painful present. This is why Paul and Silas sang in the Philippian jail, not because they enjoyed the beating, although the pain of the beating and their uncomfortable conditions may have been the reason why they were still awake, but because they knew their Lord would more than adequately reward their suffering for his name's sake. This is in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And so, in conclusion, suffering for the sake of Jesus is seen as a privilege, for we read in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, that is the name of Jesus. But this does not mean to say that we cannot call pain, pain. Paul makes it very clear that he could recognize pain, call it what it is, and experience it with the full depth of human anguish. We find examples of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 12, and chapter 11, verse 23 to 29, but there is also 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 to 13, and that reads like this: For it seems to me that God has put his apostles on display at the end of the procession, said Paul, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. But there are times also, having read that, where it is appropriate to escape persecution. And we read about this in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and verse 13 to 14, where it says, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Verse 13 says, when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. So Paul was sent away to safety. It's very clear then that Christians are not called to take pleasure in the actual pain they experience. And James is no masochist, but he points to an important truth. Only those who are heavenly minded will suffer for their faith in the present. Those who do not have this anticipated joy will likely avoid all forms of struggle and suffering. Finally, it is those who have the same perspective as James who will be willing to obey Jesus to the very end, because they are convinced that whatever the price they may have to pay today will be paid back in large measure by the Lord later. And so may God help us to make a good account of our faith each day, being able to explain these things that are sometimes difficult to understand. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so aware that it is easier to buckle under pressure than it is to stand up and be counted. We would rather avoid hardship than have to face it. Please would you give us the courage of our Christian convictions, never to hide the fact that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.